Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. It's Stormy Daniels Day in Los Angeles. She has the key to the city. What would you do if you had the key to the city, Rex?
I don't know what a key to a city actually does, if I'm being totally honest. I don't know.
I don't either, but I interpret that to mean, like, if someone was like, Amy Guth, you have the key to the city, that means I can do whatever in the hell that I want, I think.
Hey, within certain limits, I suppose.
No, I got the key. Put me in jail? Nope, got a key.
Sorry.
Nope.
I can get out.
I mean, I don't know how much power you have to, like, undo oppression and shit like that, because that's how I'd like to spend my special day. But whatever.
Yeah. Fighting, tearing down the patriarchy and whatnot with your key.
Yeah.
Keying down the keying the patriarchy's car.
Locking up the patriarchy. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's good on her. We have great hope in her.
Yeah, I mean, out of all of the people, including her lawyer, I mean, I hold her generally in much higher regard than most because she's just telling it like it is, and, you know.
Well, and she's a ray of hope in all of this mess is what. And many people have created, like, you know, those seven-day, like, glass cylinder candles that you use for, like, a prayer, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
Dan Sinker.
Dan Sinker did a Kickstarter. Yeah. I would love to have him on this program because...
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, so he made, like, a P-tape candle that was well-funded on Kickstarter, and I really got a kick out of every time there's, like, a development, he'll just kind of retweet it in his caption or his comment edition. Yeah. Will just be like, lights candle. And that's excellent. So I would love to talk to him about that.
Dan Sinker, you may become the first. If you're willing, you could become the first.
Well, I know.
Guest.
I was like, we just sort of like,
yeah.
No pressure on him. I'm just saying it would be cool to have him on. I don't want to invite people on the show by calling them out. Oh, yeah, you know, it'd be awesome. This person, if they're cool enough to show up. I don't want to be like that.
I do.
Okay, you do that. I'll be good cop.
I'll handle the guest.
You're the booking producer.
The booking agent. Come on our show, man. Why wouldn't
shaming
you?
Shaming people on the air.
Jeez.
Yeah, so he made the P-tape one, and I think a Mueller one as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw one in a little boutique near my, in the window of a boutique in my neighborhood that someone had kind of like decoupaged a Stormy Daniels. It said like, Saint Stormy will save us all or something.
Yeah, no, I mean, and honestly, not to get too far off on all of this before we get to the
I mean, that's what
Trump
we're here
stuff,
to do.
But
so.
Hey, Avenatti, her attorney, is sort of, by my standards is getting kind of annoying, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's overdoing it and he's overplaying his hand and he's starting to become almost, you know, Trump-like in to some degree. Not quite, but
yeah, he's maybe a little bit.
He's getting a little too full of himself. And frankly, because honestly, to me, one of the most important parts of that case is that Stormy Daniels was wronged.
Right.
And screwed over and, you know, silenced and possibly even intimidated or possibly even, you know, threatened when she was with her kid. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. And that's the person that I'm concerned about. And I thought when Avenatti started out, he was very clear about that being the priority. And now I feel like he has, while bringing a lot of, I think, very important stuff to light, which I appreciate, but I just think he's kind of, it's become his show.
Yeah, we need you to focus a little bit, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, they're coming, and, you know, they're trying to tear him down, which it sounds like there are valid concerns in his background as well, which isn't surprising, given what he does, you know, as a kind of a high-profile L.A. lawyer type. But
you'd think if that was your job that you would try to be as just squeaky as possible, knowing, I mean, that's my thought. If I were representing high-profile clients, I would just make darn sure that I really had no skeletons in my closet, because it seems like it's routine to look at the character of, you know, and potential dirt on everybody involved in a high profile case.
Yeah, but he's kind of a, I mean, look, I don't don't confuse this. I mean, he so far has done an amazing job of rattling all of the cages and getting some important information out to the public, and I appreciate that. And I think he's a very good attorney and certainly a good investigator. At least he has good investigators working for him based on what he's coming up with. But I also think he's kind of a, you know, he's sort of a TV lawyer to some degree. I mean, he kind of has that character about him, and it sounds like some of his past cases, it's kind of similar, you know, no, sort of a loud and in your face kind of person. And you know, I don't, whatever. I mean, but I just think that I would at this point like him to dial it back down, focus on it. If he's going to talk, focus more on how it impacts his client.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this last night because I got home and I turned on the TV and the Seinfeld was on where, the woman is a friend of Elaine's is walking down the street wearing only a bra, and Kramer crashes George's car and decides to sue him. And so he goes to the like Johnny Cochran like attorney.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That guy. And I was thinking about like how very scandalous that was at the time. The OJ trial. That was so scandalous and really, I think, kind of made people, if you had any kind of qualms about people in the law profession, it seemed like there were suddenly all these jokes, all these things. And now you don't hear that so much about lawyers. You hear that about politicians and reality TV show hosts who may or may not be the same person.
Right. Yeah. Seriously. No, that's a good point. You're right. It's kind of, it's moved on. It's it's like moved up the food chain.
Yeah. I was kind of reflecting on like how what a difference in, I mean, that's a very different thing. That's a celebrity versus a, you know, celebrity turned politician. But nonetheless, I was just thinking about, you know, how much we, you know, how much we just like talked so differently about lawyers representing famous people then.
Yeah, no. But I mean, everything has changed. Like, I mean, you know, how many years ago? I mean, look at the...
Not OJ story.
Well, yeah, that stays firm, damn it. But the... Yeah, I mean, all of the standards have not only changed, but just really been obliterated at this point. It's quite shocking. I am shocked.
I'm done being shocked. I'm not shocked anymore. I'm just like, whatever. No, I can't be shocked anymore.
I can. I still get shocked.
The sinkhole's pretty good, though.
The sinkhole's great.
If I was shockable, that might... That's not shocking because it was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it was a great...
A literal swamp occurred and made a sinkhole.
Yes, created a sinkhole. I still contend that it's just where Eric buries the bodies of the people he has drained, but that's just my vampire fan fiction.
We haven't had a nice little vampire dig on that guy in a while. Yeah. So, have you seen the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary?
No, I have not. I've heard it's really good, though. Somebody the other day was telling me, though, that it was excellent.
I watched it last night. Association for Women Journalists. We had a little outing. Like, let's make sure that the weirdo sitting next to us is a weirdo that we know.
Yeah.
Right? Let's do that. Let's go to a movie in a group. And several of us went and saw it, and it was very good. It was really good. It was very interesting. I liked her before. I liked her even more now. Or I like her even more now. And she's just so darn cute. She's just a tiny little, like...
She's the one on the Supreme Court, right?
She's the one lady doing the thing. It was interesting, though. There was a lot of context that I think is often lost, and a lot of things that a lot of cases in particular that really remind. Especially, I think it was interesting to sit in the theater with some younger people, and then there were some younger, way younger people in front of me. That it was interesting to just kind of hear their reactions to things of. Kind of not having an awareness of, oh, that one case changed something that much.
Right,
oh,
yeah.
That, oh, she argued this in front of the Supreme Court and that made that big a difference. Oh, and so there was like the Virginia Military Institute, and, you know, all these great, you know, cases that she had worked on. So that was very cool and very good.
Yeah, you know, the Supreme Court is kind of this, it's treated as just this. People say they don't usually necessarily mention a specific justice. They're just like the Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. So you don't often think about, the people and the specific stuff that they have done or ruled on or, you know, written decisions about, et cetera. So it's interesting. And it is amazing. Like reading a Supreme Court decision is...
And she writes so many of the dissenting ones that are so good. So the one, I guess it was yesterday, about worker rights and class action lawsuits, which is terrible because it feels very much now like companies have more rights than workers.
Both candidates were equally bad, Amy, so what can we do?
Right. So... There's a good, I thought, like one of the best kind of overview stories of just, if you don't want to get into the weeds too much and just kind of want to see what it's all about, Fast Company of all places, like they had a good kind of primer on that particular story. But they noted, as many stories did, that RBG wrote the dissenting opinion, and it's 5 pages longer than the majority one, and she read it herself. I'm like, here's the thing about this.
Yeah, she had a lot to say.
Yeah, she had a lot to say.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Colbert had her on, did a piece with her not too long ago where he worked out with her, because she has this like workout routine.
That's in the documentary.
It is.
She's not playing around with the gym, and she has a personal trainer.
Yeah, yeah, it was really funny though.
Her granddaughter is in the documentary a lot, because that's like fun kind of commentary. There's a lot of things that make her a lot more human in the documentary. Like her love of opera is in there. There's a scene in particular that was so darn funny and cute. Because she doesn't have, it doesn't seem like she has much like smart ass in her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's more like, I'm going to use the law of the land to subvert your dumb shit theory, you know, and she'll really, even her approach as she was talking about preparing for the first time she brought a case to the Supreme Court, just as a lawyer, how she said, I'm going up against, there's all these men and I need to make them see, I don't need to just argue this, I need to make them see what my point is and feel it and feel this sense of discrimination that we're talking about.
Right.
And really, you know, she's very much in the, you cannot win an argument by screaming. You need to show more than tell. You just need to make your case bulletproof and really airtight. So, you know, there was a lot of things like that. But for as much as they showed all of this great might and power coming out of this, like, tiny little person, which is, I mean, it has nothing to do with it really, but it's kind of cool just to see her doing her thing.
Yeah.
There was this funny scene in which, because they keep mentioning how much she loves opera. And she said that's kind of when the only time she's not thinking about a case, and when she's at an opera.
Uh-huh.
And she even says this beautiful line about how I feel like, you know, the range of what the human voice can do is like an electric current through me. So pretty.
Wow.
But there's one opera that has like a speaking part in it for a judge-like character to come in. And it's 2 or 3 days after the presidential election. And she was invited to do this role. And they've done her up in this, you know, period gown in this outfit. And they kind of like bring her out on this throne. And she reads from a scroll, but it's full of kind of puns.
Uh-huh.
At one point she has to say, and we will trumpet. And she goes, we will trumpet. It and she kind of does it like there was a little smart ass in there, and it was very very touching. But again, like I said, I had immense respect for her and liked her very much before, and just adore her now. I thought it was very, very sweet.
That's cool. Yeah, I'll have to see it. I haven't.
Orrin Hatch was the most surprising character in it. Who, for as much as Orrin Hatch is Orrin Hatch, he was quite fair.
That's good.
And you know, it was clear that he, although he does not agree with her, it was clear that he has a great deal of respect for her.
Yeah, and that's what's missing now, you know?
Yeah.
Because that really, I mean, that was the way things were for, I mean, you know, you always had some super hardcore partisans on either side, but by and large, you had a lot of people that disagreed but could still, you know, respected each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've really lost that now.
How do we get it back? Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. We need to form two countries. I was thinking about that on the way in.
Forming two countries? What are they?
I don't know.
What are the characteristics of the countries?
One's good and one sucks.
You go over there to the suck country.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, of course, this is just my brain going to weird places, but when you think about, especially right now, And people that are, what made me think about it was the, oddly enough, the NFL's decision to, I don't know if you heard about that, this just happened today, the NFL implemented a rule that if you're on the field during the national anthem, you have to stand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Which is just, this whole thing is just so, I mean, this is where, you know, what's really amazing to me is that the right used to talk about the, about liberals being like, you know, victims, you know, like in a culture of victimhood and aggrievement and stuff. And now that's literally all they do. I mean, it's literally all that they do. It's,
and with so much about, you know, there's too much government, there's too much regulation.
Right.
Requiring someone to not, you know, requiring someone to stand during the national anthem.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's a lot of regulation.
It's
there.
Just, right, because it just, they just went right over the point of any of it to, oh my God, you're unpatriotic. You hate the flag. You hate America. Blah, blah. And it's so, the whole thing is so damn frustrating. But you take that, and then you take, you know, just, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to sort of connect or relate to anybody who thinks that, you know, immigrant children should be separated from their parents, who thinks that it's fine to call human beings animals mm-hmm. in a broad sense, who think that LGBT people should not have the same rights, who freak out because their kid might, God forbid, have to go to the bathroom with a transgender person.
Your kid has, I'm sure.
Right.
As I mean, have you, and you don't know it.
Of course. And it's ridiculous. And you're just peeing, for God's sake. Like, what's your problem? Like, get your head under your ass. But I don't see where the come together point is anymore. I just don't. And some of this is,
oh, I don't think there is one right now.
Is going to just require, you know, generational die-off, basically. And that's kind of what I think, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way. But in the meantime, what the hell happens? I mean, you know, it's really, it's a bigger number of people than most of us would like to acknowledge who have these very stark differences of opinion. You know, people who are just racist, mm-hmm. but are incapable of admitting it. I had a guy leave me a voicemail the other day because I wrote something about how ridiculous it is to
be a racist.
Yeah, basically, you know, to you know, pin everything on like an entire group of people, for example.
Sure.
You know, so if a white person shoots a school up, white people aren't demonized.
No.
But if a Muslim person does, or, you know, if a black person, there's a gang shootout,
sure,
then the, you know, all the black people are bad, and, you know, it's that kind of thinking, that sort of broad brush thinking. And so this guy sent me this long email, and he was really trying as hard as he could to sound totally reasonable, but he wound up saying, but you know what, if I'm walking down the street and there's two black guys coming towards me, I'm getting ready because I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's like, right, you stupid racist, yeah, piece of shit. Like, you are racist.
Yeah.
Stop trying to bullshit your way around this. At least own it if that's the way you're going to be. And if you can't recognize that that's racist, I can't deal with you, right? I mean, I can't deal with that anymore. And most people, I think, feel the same way. Like, they can't. Like, so how do, right, I get on the same page? And why the hell do I have to, you know, how do I modify my views to accept, be like, oh no, he's cool, he just gets really nervous when black people start coming towards him. I'm like, I mean, that's, you can't do that anymore.
No,
like,
you don't need to modify.
I mean, you never should have done that, but right. I mean, it's freaking ridiculous. And that ties in with, like, the, you know, Trump calling MS-13.
Yeah.
I sent a tweet about MS-13 after the animals comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, wait, so if it's okay for him to do that because they're violent killers, which, for the record, some of the stuff they have done is unspeakably horrible. And I think any individual who does something like that, I don't really have a particular problem calling that individual a fucking animal for, you know, whether that's a white guy who's, you know, abusing kids, or, you know, name your awful person. Okay, but when you're saying these MS-13 guys are animals, you are now lumping in an enormous number of people. And I said, how do you know? Do you just figure that every sort of vaguely South American looking guy is an MS-13 gang member. They wear name tags. And so I got this flood. This was, I think these were Russian bots, truthfully, mm-hmm. because of the way it happened. But I had this fucking flood of tweets with photos, the same three photos of MS-13 dudes with MS-13 tattooed on their face. And said, that's how you tell they got it tattooed on their face. Blah, blah, blah. So I Googled MS-13 mugshots. Mm-hmm. It's a whole page of just South American dudes. They don't have tattoos all over their faces every single damn time. And it's just so frustrating. I'm like, you know, you...
On the White House website, whitehouse.gov, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Underneath the section called Law and Justice, you know, the word animal is not just used, like, as a, like, a throwaway comment to Trump. It's a headline on a story there. It says, what you need to know about the violent animals of MS-13, followed by what the violent animals of MS-13 have committed heinous violent attacks in communities across America. Like, right there. Under why, it says, MS-13 is a transnational gang which follows the model of kill, rape, control by committing shocking acts of violence in an attempt to instill fear and gain control. President Trump's entire administration is working tirelessly to bring these violent animals to justice.
That was that happened right after the controversy, and it was an intentionally provocative thing to own the libs by, you know, using the same stupid wording as many times as possible, which, again, our government should not be in the business of doing that.
No.
You know, you're purposely trying to divide people and provoke people over something that's just idiotic. I mean, it's...
Well, so let's kind of rewind to the part about the point of no return of, like, having civil dialogue and not, right? Because here, I think, is the difference. And I was thinking about this last night after I saw that movie. Because RBG talks about at one point, there have been plenty of people... There have been plenty of other Supreme Court justices with whom she does not agree, obviously. But she said one thing she rather likes is that every time they are assembled, they begin by all going and shaking each other's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, my God, that'd be so great to be able to. It must be very productive, you know, and I think her relationship with Scalia is like a testament to that, that like you can have a productive dialogue with somebody if you're both committed to being a civilized fucking human being. The difference is, I think, there's probably some intellectual differences between, say, a Supreme Court justice and the average bear.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No offense to bears. But I think even bigger than that is the difference between, and even the example of like Orrin Hatch saying things about her in the documentary. The difference is, I think, speaking about interpretation of law versus, which this is a Venn diagram, and I almost need, like, this needs to be a video rather than a podcast, but like interpretation of law is not the same kind of conversation as if you're having a political conversation with a reader or a listener or just a person you know or a relative or something who is committed they believe something because they believe it and for no other reason than they believe it based on a piece of evidence that they have interpreted to suit their belief. And I think where it gets real fucked up there is when you're talking about interpretation of law versus humanity and human rights issues, and that becomes a very different thing. Human rights issues are reflected in interpretation of the law, but when, and again, this is a Venn diagram, but I'm talking about, like, Supreme Court justices aside, when, like, the average conversation, we're not having conversations about the law of the land. We're not talking about the Constitution. We're really arguing about someone's humanity and someone's right to pee where they want and do as they please and love who they want and all of these things and escape a dangerous place and live somewhere safely and be with their families. And we're talking about very basic human rights issues. And I think that is why I don't think we can get to a place of productive, healthy dialogue. And I don't think it would be useful if we did. I think it's about, I mean, like, okay, take your reader, for example, your guy who said he wasn't racist, even though he clearly is racist. It doesn't matter if he thinks he's racist or not. It's actually, like, it's not up to you to decide if you're racist or not.
Right.
It's up to someone who has been offended by your fucking racism.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like a dude can walk around all day long and say, I'm not sexist, but, like, if he says offensive shit to me, he's sexist. The end. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You've offended me.
Right.
Done. Like, it's just not productive to walk around being like, I'm a male ally. I'm not racist. Like, act that way. Do it. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you say. Does not matter what you say. So I don't care about dialogue, really, to tell you the truth. I would if I was the Supreme Court Justice, which I am not.
Yeah.
Or other, some kind of, you know, someone who had impact on the law and could set forth and set precedent on things, but I'm not. And the people that I have conversations with are rarely coming at me with you know, a vast body of knowledge of the law. People think they do, but we're all, I wouldn't say we're all reading the same thing, but, you know, we arm ourselves with what we want to be armed with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally
information-wise, true. You know, we hear what we want. I mean, there's plenty of data even suggesting we don't even hear things that don't agree with our own biases. We don't even remember seeing that data. And if you don't, if you don't want to constantly be challenging your beliefs, you're not going to budge. Mm-hmm. And even if you want to be, I think it's hard to find. It's hard to find and hear. I do that all the time. I'll just pick a topic and like go read opposition on it just to see, like, to check myself on things. And even then, it's sometimes hard to even understand what the fuck the opposition is talking about.
Yeah. So, well, and I mean, frankly, in a lot of cases, that's because what they're talking about doesn't add up. I mean, it just doesn't.
Well, there's that.
It doesn't hold water, and that becomes a problem. So you try very hard, and I do the same thing to be fair and to listen and to make sure you're getting everything, but. It just reaches a point where you're like, well, no, that's not.
But
really
so let me ask you this: like, what would be the point of even fairness and dialogue at this point? We're not. I mean, I think that's been like the like centrist to left leaning Democrat approach has been like tolerance and dialogue. When why? Like, you're not getting that in return. Like, why would that group do that?
That's a really, yeah, and I'm starting to lean more in that direction now. And it's interesting that you say that, because there were a couple things, threads on Twitter today that I saw from different people basically saying, like, okay, hey, Democrats, you're getting your asses handed to you in the messaging department here. Why? And I have wondered about. I mean, I've always thought, not always, I mean, throughout the Trump time here, I've thought, okay.
Trump time sounds like a terrible time.
Yeah, right, exactly. I've felt like, okay, they must know. I mean, I always look at our government as knowing far more than what we know in terms of how things are working and what's going on and that sort of
you
thing.
You think that currently?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I've always, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because there's crap I don't want to know about, and, you know, it's kind of the government's job to deal with that and.
Matters of national security and whatnot.
Well, yeah, and keep me out of it to some degree, because I got enough to deal with. But in this case, I felt like, okay, they must have a sense of where this is all heading with Trump, because they are being, in my opinion, they're not being silent by any means, but they're being.
Who are we talking about in particular?
Just the Democrats in general in Congress.
Lawmakers.
Yeah, sorry, lawmakers in Congress. And, you know, I mean, they've done what they can to fight things. They've stood up big time on a few things. But by and large, with the literally daily, almost hourly degradation of norms that we see, they're not. I mean, from my perspective, sometimes I've been like, why are you not standing up on the rooftop screaming? Like, what? Why is this so kind of, you've been sort of like calm about things. And so I've always sort of assumed, OK, well, they must have a sense that this is going in a place where them making a ton of noise isn't going to be helpful, right? That it's a strategic decision. But I'm starting to wonder if it's more what you're talking about just the, you know, a desire for, well, we want to try to win over these Trump people at some point.
No.
You know, which is never going
to
happen.
I want to eradicate them.
Right.
I don't want to. And I'm not talking about killing. I'm not making threats. Yeah. I'm saying remove them from office.
Right.
I want to vote their bitch asses out.
Yeah.
And I don't care about dialogue. It's not going to do any good. It's not. Would you seriously, if you had a very, very right, let's say super alt-right, like straight up full-on Nazi, like you and Richard Spencer sit down and have a fucking dialogue.
Yeah, right.
And you scoot him an inch towards you, right? Not literally. Figuratively. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't scoot him near you. That'd be weird.
Richard, come here, buddy.
But say you do sway him a little bit. Does that matter? Would it matter if Richard Spencer or whomever, pick a Nazi, came out and was like, you know what, I'm rethinking this thing, and this is, I'm kind of softening on this one point. No, it doesn't matter.
You went from Nazi to slightly woke Nazi. Like,
yeah, like, Nazi-ish.
Yeah, right.
No, you're a Nazi or you're not. Pass, fail.
Yeah, no, I frankly...
And would you even ever trust that fully?
No.
I give people the grace to change their lives and say, man, I fucked it up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are plenty of organizations that have, like, helped young people get out of white supremacy organizations and change their ways. Do I expect that person is going to be super woke? Not necessarily, but, like, just leaving a hate group is great.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
good. But do you... I'm not saying you can't trust that person. You can. Mm-hmm. But what... I guess what I'm saying is, what good would it do if we were to, like, run in and change a bunch of minds?
Right, exactly.
People are who they are, and they're going to be who they are. We just need to organize ourselves better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no hope for the Democratic Party at all. Mm-hmm. None. Done. The dialogue has gotten people smushed.
Yeah.
So I think leftist organizations need to continue to organize and grow, which is what has been happening in the last year, and not full with dialogue, but just deal with action. I think person to person on the local level matters. Mm-hmm. We tend to go right for way national, but I think it's really important to don't let these fucking dipshits get into office in the first place, even if it's like the lowest possible office you can possibly be voted into. Like,
right,
just don't let an asshole in there.
Yeah.
And when people are getting petition, like getting signatures, I mean, I don't sign them anyway. I always say, like, I work for a media organization, thanks, bye. But I will sit there and ask them about the candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people don't know, or I get this a lot. Well, this is a local election, so we're not really concerned with that issue. Right, but what does that candidate think about it? Or if it's the candidate themselves. Right, but what do you think about it? I want to know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might only give a shit about, like, my ward because you're running for an alderman or whatever role. But from there, you've launched in. Your foot is in the door at that point.
Yeah, sure.
Of the entire political machine, and you have the ability to keep going. So I need to stop any bullshit before. So, like, does it matter? I mean, I'll ask them about my ward, of course. But then I'll be like, where do you stand on a woman's right to choose? I'm like, well, that's not really an issue that an alderman would need to deal with. Right, but where do you... I want to know.
Yeah, right.
What do you think? I want to know.
Significant factor in everything.
Because I don't want your ass in politics if you do not recognize that women have autonomy over their own bodies. And they'll be like, golly, we got a firecracker here.
Yeah.
Answer my goddamn question.
Yeah.
And sometimes they will, sometimes they will not. But... I always get that. Like, well, that's not really part of my purview for being in this aldermanic blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Just answer it. That's fine. Just answer. Just human being to human being. Tell me what the fuck you think.
Yeah. Reasonable. But yeah, I think that...
Fuck dialogue.
But yeah, I mean, I think that... I mean, I basically think Democrats need to get on a war footing and just start making endless noise because...
And about what? Like, what noise?
Just, I mean, not sitting back while all of these things get rolled over. The stuff that's happening right now with Trump basically pushing the Department of Justice to give, a couple Republican only Republican members of Congress information on an ongoing investigation that involves the President of the United States. It's absolutely astonishing that this is happening, and I don't see what they're doing. They should be jamming everything up. They should be bringing anything that's happening to a standstill and demanding answers to this. And again, they're just sort of, it's like they're just letting, they're saying things like, I can't believe he's doing this. Okay,
right.
That doesn't
going with that, because there's lots of quips.
Right.
And like, so define make noise.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't mean make noise as in literally make noise.
I actually don't care if I hear about my lawmakers making the noise or not. I just want them to do something.
Right,
they
exactly.
can be as fucking stealth as they want.
Yeah.
Just go do it.
But I feel like the level of... there has been a desire among Democrats, which I admire up to a point... And in fact, encouraged up to a point to not do what Republicans have done or are doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be bigger than that. That's a great idea, but it is not working. And they have to change that approach at this point because you're giving way too much ground right now. I mean, we are being the scandalous stuff, the big headline stuff, is really bad. But the stuff that's going on underneath that is just look at what they're doing. Look at the EPA. Look at the HUD.
I cannot stop with the Scott Pruitt stories.
Yeah, look at Betsy DeVos. I mean, they're just destroying stuff. Stuff that's going to take years, if not decades, to recover. Look at the judges that are being placed who are crackpots. I mean, you know, it's just insane. So if there's like an end point to this that the Democrats know about and don't want to interfere with, it better come pretty damn soon, because I agree with people who are saying that they are losing the messaging battle here, in that right now Trump is spinning literal bullshit about Spygate and that his campaign was spied on, which is just
craziness.
Absolutely, it is. It's like InfoWars level crazy crap.
Yeah.
And they are getting away with it. I mean, they're doing it and people are believing it because you don't have Democrats out there, you know, just bombarding people with facts, sending information, whatever you have to do to do. I mean, but there should be active ongoing campaigns to bat this down, because they are losing.
Well, I think
the waters are being so muddied, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a habit of, well, how do I want to say that? I think it's very difficult to resist the allure of being in a state of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really, you know, that's not all there is to politicking and mm-hmm. being elected official. There's
there's
doing. There's, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want this to happen, but what do I want to happen? Well, how about I put my efforts on making that happen?
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
like instead of, I mean, you can protest a thing and flood someone's office with, you know, notes as a constituent and things like that, which you should. But there's also the other side of that is, okay, if I don't want this, what do I want and how can I help build that forward?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to do both mm-hmm. as a citizen
yeah.
and as a lawmaker. And I think it is so hard to resist. I mean, it is very hard to resist the reactive part of that.
Mm-hmm.
This happened, take to the streets. You should. I have before you, like we've all done that. Like we should have written the letters that we should to our representatives or protested the thing, and we should. But there's always the conversation like, don't let it end there. And I think people say, yeah, you're right, don't let it end there. Yeah. But then they don't know what to do
yeah.
and say, okay,
let's get pizza.
Well, if I don't want, you know, if I don't want this to go on in healthcare, let's say, what do I want? Okay, maybe your thing is single payer, so you get behind that and do work in that space and help people organize around that topic. You're still protesting when things happen, when you're still writing letters and making noise, when to stop things and reacting to things that occur, but you're also building up strength in the thing that you do believe in. And I don't think that's not as sexy, right? Like organizing is hard and the struggle is hard, and it's never like that went off awesomely, it's great. Like there's
right.
always struggle
yeah.
so, but in the struggle is where the progress is, and so that's just not as sexy, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
much sexier to be like, I'm gonna make a sign, go
right.
out and tweet some shit.
Yeah.
But again, you should do that, but you should also put your effort in the thing you want to grow.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And
yes.
I just don't see a lot. I still see a lot of just
armchair activism.
Yeah. And it's not insignificant to say what you think on Twitter, unless you're an idiot, and then maybe don't. But, you know, it's not. But when something resonates, it gets retweeted millions of times, you know, and you know you're speaking to the core of something when something gets retweeted millions and millions of times. And it's telling, because it's like, look at the accounts that are retweeting you, and are those your people? Because
mm-hmm.
if they're not, maybe you're not quite aligned with the thing you think you are,
right,
in the way that
right.
you think you are. But don't let it stop there either. I mean, I've been saying that, I don't know, I've been saying that for years. Like, don't just, I'm speaking out about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then go do it, or live it, or be that, or,
yeah.
you know. I mean, it's not just enough to say, I'm raising awareness. Like, who gives a shit? We all know. Not much awareness needs to be raised around much of goddamn anything anymore. We all
right.
know the shit. go do and make things move and make things work and bring people together to talk about things that you want to work, even if it's tiny. I'm telling you, it was a very powerful conversation that I had. It was about doing a volunteer project, right? And a joke was made, you went off to save the world today. And I didn't like that. And so I was like, no, I was just doing this one thing. It was just, you know.
Thursday's my save the world day.
Right. That's Thursday. Today is Wednesday, bitches. And I was like, haha, no, it's a nice organization. And I was just doing this one thing. And, you know, I wasn't like saving puppies from a fire. I was just making sandwiches and no big deal, you know. And I realized the person that said to me wasn't kidding. And this is what the response was, which I thought was really quite good. And it was, right, but who actually saves the world all at once? Nobody. Everybody. Imagine, like, if everybody made the sandwich and it's one person doing one thing that they can and next, you know, right beside someone doing the thing they can. And that keeps, and you, as long as we all keep doing the thing that we can, bit by bit, we are saving it. Nobody saves it in one fell swoop.
The Avengers, technically.
The Avengers doing, like, but, okay. From the comet with Superman that one time. Right.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
But I've, that made me think a lot clearer about why I am doing, why I do the things that I do. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it through that lens, I think anything can be an act of activism. But again, in activism, you have to decide what is reactive and what is building structure, building for the future that you want. And I think that's a key thing. Yeah. I don't really care about noise. Actually, I really admire there's like lots of different clubs that do secret gardening. Under cover of nightfall, that'll just like find a vacant lot and garden some shit and put plants in it and whatever. And I'm like, I think that's kind of fun and cool and interesting to seed bomb a place and all that. But if you're planting food and a lot of people are doing, I mean, that's a small act, but it's not a small act to bees who are pollinating it. And it's not a small act to people who have food that didn't. And it's not, you know, lots of small acts add up.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I certainly lack the ability to fly up and grab a comet and take it off its course to hit Earth, and we all do, but little things like that I think can be quite useful to us.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, because you're right, if you have a lot of people doing little things, that becomes a lot of things.
Yeah, so to me it doesn't matter, you know, I don't announce a lot of that kind of shit. I just do it. Mm-hmm. I don't need to announce it. If it's a matter of like, I really need people to show up at this thing, that's different. If it's, right. I really, this is the thing I wrote and I really encourage you to consider this point, that's different. But, you know, hey, I'm going to go make sandwiches or whatever the hell. I'm just using that as an example. Like, I don't need to tell anybody that. That's not what it's for. That's not why you do those things. You do them because you want to make the world better. You want, even if that's just, well, I know more people ate today than they did yesterday.
Yeah, right.
That's what I could do today.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's a good thing for people to remember. And it's a good place to put your energy right now, because I
know people
are so angry and head spinny and, you know, sort of in various states of shock and appall.
And I think there's a lot of despair. And I really do. I think people are tired and there's a lot of despair. I'm in that. This shit is exhausting.
Right.
I choose it every day, choose it again. But like, ugh, it's exhausting. And things like that will fill you and feed you in a way.
Sure.
Mentally, because then you feel like, I made a little bit of headway today.
Totally. No, I agree. Reach out to a journalist and say something nice. That's helpful. Send me money. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not really kidding.
Do you think people would do that?
Send me money?
No.
Say something nice?
Yeah.
People do that. Actually, you know what? I get a lot of email, and it's interesting. This is definitely a new phenomenon since Trump came into office, but I get a lot of email from people who saying, hey, I know you take a lot of shit, and I just want you to know how much we appreciate what you're doing.
That's nice.
And, you know, we need you to keep doing it.
That's awesome.
So I was technically joking about what I was saying, but the truth is, the time it took that person to send that email, that literally makes my day when I get something like that. And that does, because it is overwhelming, as you know, sure. and just sort of days where you just want to sort of stick your head in the toilet. But
the toilet?
Okay, maybe not the toilet, but
I always say oven. Like, that's What's the toilet going to do but wet your hair in a gross way?
It's a good place. It seems like... Never mind.
Trolls do not make me want to put my head in the toilet, so we're clear.
But yeah, no, I mean, something like that is... But that's something that is... I had not had previously had things like that happen before. But now I feel like there's this sort of unified sense of like, okay, we're in it for the long haul here, and journalists are helping us. The judicial branch is helping us, and we need to keep those things going and not let them get beat down too much. I mean, I think that's the way readers are sort of responding when they do that, and it's great, and I really appreciate it. I mean, it does make a difference. So, but of course, I mean, that started out as a joke, really. I don't mean that the best thing people can do is send me an email,
but it doesn't hurt.
Telling me to keep my head up.
No, but it doesn't hurt. And you know, let's be real. I mean, holy shit, I follow you on Twitter, and you get all kind of shit every time. I was like, Rex's column is out today. What horrible things are people saying? And there it is. It'll be, you know, somebody's like, the very first tweet after the column is like, kill yourself, asshole. Yeah. Like, well, that's nice.
Good morning to you, sir.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, it's weird. But whatever. I mean, I go out and, you know, find some immigrant kids who've been separated from their parents and, you know, give them a hug or do, you know, that sort of thing. Good Lord. But there are lots of things people can do. And I agree with you, though. Even things that maybe seem tiny are valuable. So.
And then keep doing them.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Don't just do it once.
And don't waste a lot of time talking about it. Just do them.
Yeah, exactly.
You might feel really good after you do it and be like, I did a thing and it's really great. Just do them.
Yeah.
I mean, just shut the fuck up and keep going. That's it.
Yes. You don't need to Instagram it.
Also, I feel like there's some degree of strategy in that, too, that if you're always talking about the shit you're doing, you can be thwarted easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Just go do the things. And then people are like, eh, that person's not a threat. She ain't doing shit. It's fine. Meanwhile, you've, you know, connected activists or done things and organized a thing, or, you know, you don't need to announce your organizing. You just need to go do the organizing.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
All right, then. Now that we've solved that.
Yeah, I think we fixed everything this time.
Most
weeks we don't have time, but this time
this
I feel like we really nailed it.
We fixed some things. predictions for the week ahead, Hupke?
Something's brewing in Mullertown, I think, because, man, Trump is off. That's what I wound
off up. Off the rails.
Yeah, that's what I wound up writing about this morning, because it was just, like, this stuff is crazy. And the thing that I keep trying to say is, this is the president of the United States of America. And, like, I, you know, pulled two of his quotes together into one long paragraph, and I'm like, or two of his tweets, are there. And
yeah.
This is the president of the United States of America. I was like, what in the hell is this? And how is anybody okay with this nonsense? It's ridiculous. But yeah, he's freaking out. And I don't know exactly what walls happen to be closing in at the moment. Well, plus, you know, I love my favorite. Sounds bad, but I love how he pre-hyped the North Korea shit, and it's just fallen apart. They had a coin made and all this stuff. And now it's like, well, maybe it's not going to happen. And so I feel like, you know, look, being president has got to be the hardest damn job on the planet.
Couldn't pay me enough.
Right.
No way.
And this guy is uniquely unequipped to handle any of this.
Right.
And
he's such an idiot.
And it's all coming at him from a million different sides right now. I mean, you know, because a normal president without any significant scandals is hard as hell. You know, he's president with just the most massive unfolding scandals that are spiraling in 80 different directions. And
right. I mean, let's not lose sight of the fact that I don't think at the end of the day that he believed he was going to win. So he probably saw no need to clean anything up.
Yeah, right.
And then now that he did, I think he seemed to behave as if he had a sense of supreme entitlement and like, well, they love me, so I can get away with this shit now. Blah.
That is the way he feels. And he's getting away with it. I mean, he is getting away with it. You know, we don't know what Mueller's going to wind up having, but at this point, I mean, you think about all of the, like we were talking about, the norms that he's pushed back and trampled and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, he's getting away
with it. That's funny. I know we got to wrap it up, but I was in a conversation late last week about kind of about that idea of people getting burned out and like our outrage-o-meters are broken and it's all just kind of too much. And the person I was speaking to, she's a lawyer, and she was talking about how important it is to be clear about the difference between laws and norms. And on the flip side of that, there are things we're outraged about that are, and say things like, you can't do that, when in fact it's just a norm, it's not a law. And so maybe it is time to put, her thinking was, perhaps it's time to make some of these norms laws.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is kind of an interesting thing to think about. Like, there's lots of things. I mean, even in certain circumstances, disclosure is law, but in certain circumstances, it's not. It's the ethical thing to do, but it's not the legal thing. You can be prosecuted if you don't. In some settings, you can. But it was a really interesting point that I think. So I've been thinking about norms after that conversation. And you're right. Many have been eroded and moved in. Good times. Well, okay. I agree. I think something is totally brewing in Mullertown. I think that Trump will do something. Agreed that I think he does feel like the walls are closing in. And so I think he's going to, right before the whatever Mueller thing is brewing comes up, I think he's going to do something super batshit to try to make us look the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
I don't know. Some good crazy. Like, he's going to pick a fight with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to bring maybe it's another, MS-13 dig. Maybe, I don't know. But it seems like he's going to start a fight with somebody.
Yeah.
To try to outrage everybody into looking at that instead of looking at whatever Mueller's going to do.
Yeah.
But au contraire, we are eagerly awaiting anything Mueller's got to say.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because, I mean, he's been, cool as the other side of the pillow and not really doing much of anything outward.
See, I think he's in the Amy Guth school of doing shit.
Yeah,
don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Just go get your shit done. No one's worried about you.
Yeah.
No one's fucking with you. Just be like, yeah, no, everything's good.
Yep.
We're good. Happy Monday. Someone's got a case of the Mondays. And just keep doing your thing. And then suddenly you're like, boom, here's all the shit I have. At least that's what I'm telling myself my life strategy is.
Light those candles.
Light those candles, people. All right. Well, this has been another fine edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We shall see you next time. Everybody, be sweet on Twitter. Bye.